Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild, Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. We're going to be doing a series over the next several weeks. I've invited a few guys on that know a thing or two about elk hunting, and I'm going to be throwing them very similar scenarios that you may encounter or that most guys who've done any kind of elk hunting have encountered on their hunts, and see how they would handle it. And even though a lot of the questions will be the same, a lot of scenarios will be the same, it's very interesting to listen to the different approaches from these guys that seem to get it done year in and year out. And so I think it's a really neat perspective and a cool way to learn that way. When you're presented with those scenarios or those situations out in the field, you'll be able to apply it. I also want to urge you guys to take the time and please go on iTunes or the Podbean app. Give us a review. It's super important for us. Helps the ratings, helps keep us ahead of everything, and helps us keep this podcast free, to be honest with you. So if you get out there and do that for me, I'd appreciate it. And please go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. They're our number one sponsor, and they put out an awesome product, and we appreciate them. And I'd appreciate it if you could go check them out. Let's roll into this next episode.
Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild, Big Game Hunting Podcast. We are back on with Joel Turner, and we're talking elk, and we're continuing on with the What Would You Do series. Going to throw a few more scenarios at Joel and see what he would do with them. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, how are you? Let's talk elk, buddy.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for the season, man. It's only May. It's funny because
I
was just having this conversation with somebody that I don't remember, maybe it might have been Corey Jacobson, but every year, for some reason, in April, May, June, I'm thinking about elk like crazy, even though it's not the first season for me. You know, first season for me is usually velvet muleys, you know, or velvet coos deer. You know, I'm usually hunting that in August and even the beginning part of September. And even antelope, you know, usually like those few species are what I'm hunt first. And the rest of the year, I think about the next thing that's coming up. But for some reason, elk right. always overtakes me early for some reason. So,
you know, people always ask me, you know, what's your next hunt and this and that? And I may tell them, you know, deer, whatever it may be, but I'm like, but they don't bugle, you know,
yeah,
antelope don't bugle, whitetails don't bugle, moose don't bugle, you know, so they're all exciting hunts and they're exciting things to hunt, but they don't bugle. And that's what gets us all, I think.
Yep. Yep. Oh, all right. So my first one I'm going to throw at you is you've been working a herd all morning long, you know, meaning they've been panting your back and you're kind of following them, shadowing the herd, so to speak. And now you finally get to a point where you're like 150 yards from them. But the trees are fairly open. And I know this is very contradictive to Washington. So pretend you're in Arizona.
And, sure.
Yeah, say you're in the Ponderosa. Like, so in the Ponderosa pines here, I mean, most of our units, like the understory, there's almost no ground brush or anything.
Been there, done that. Yep.
Right. Okay. So it's pretty open. And you're convinced that if you try to get any closer, they're probably going to pick you off. So the layout is such that if you call from right there, the likelihood of him coming in and hanging up is pretty high. And the likelihood of you trying to get closer to call and get out without getting busted is pretty high. So what are you doing in those situations?
Does he have cows?
Yes. It's a herd.
Okay.
It's a herd. It's a bull. It's a bull. It's a satellite bull and about 10 head of cows.
Okay. So if he's got cows, he's a herd bull, whether he likes it or not. So the only approach you're going to really have, so you're 150 yards out. I would not worry so much about the cows seeing me, but let me think about this for a second. So 150 yards is the farthest that I've ever had the bull calling cows scenario play out in my favor, because bulls don't usually want to get that far away from their cows. So if he's in that situation where he's 150 yards and I can't get any closer, I would wait. And I'm a really situational elk hunter. So if he's in a spot that's low percentage, I just wait. And I'm not trying to get close to him. I'm only trying to get within 100 yards of one of his cows. So I'm going to continue to ghost that bull or shadow him, whatever you want to call it, until I can get within 100 yards of one of the cows. It may be a straggler in the herd. It may be one that's fed off to the side, whatever it may be. I'm going to use terrain. If he's in a place where you can't get any closer, I'm just going to wait. And, you know, you may be waiting for a while for that bull to get in the right situation, because the sounds that you're going to do, the bull is going to move towards you. And when you do the bull call and cow's bugle, it hasn't mattered how open it is. They will come across wide open spaces to get to you to harm you. Okay. So it's like they're blinded by rage. I mean, the bull that I killed this year, I mean, there was nothing. He came around the corner at 30 yards. There was nothing between me and him. And he walked up to 10 before he started raking his antlers on the ground. So, but in Arizona, in New Mexico, in Wyoming, in Idaho, I've had bulls come across expanses of complete openness to get to you. So try to use terrain if you can, obviously. But if the situation is low percentage, there's no harm in waiting. If you do try it, and if you get set up, do the bull call and cow's bugle, and he's moving towards you, as soon as he, like, he's going to get to a certain spot, and he doesn't necessarily hang up other than he wants to not necessarily get that far from his cows, I believe. So he may turn around and start back toward his cows. As soon as his head spins around, he's looking toward those cows again, hit him again with the bull call and cow's bugle. You're not talking to him. You're talking to his cows. That's the main thing. You're never talking to the bull. You're only talking to his cows. So I'm not doing any chuckling, no challenge bugles, and not like that. I'm only talking to his cows. I've had them come a certain way. They'll start raking a tree or whatever to show dominance. And if they're raking a tree with their eyes closed, hit him with it again. Hit the cows with it, with that bull calling cows bugle again. And if he's going to come across that expanse, he will. If he doesn't, you're in the wrong spot. So just wait it out. Let him go back to his cows. You didn't foul up anything by doing that. Yes, he understands there's a bull there, but you didn't challenge him. You're only talking to his cows. He may try to move his cows again, but you need to relocate them. Calf sounds, right? Calf sounds to relocate the herd, and then wait till he's in the right position. It might be a terrain feature. It might be a little bit more cover, whatever it is. Get to within 100 yards of one of the cows, and now you're in the right situation.
Awesome. All right. So next scenario. You've located a bull. He's up on top of a ridge. He seems to be staying in place. Like, you've been hearing him every once in a while. He lets out a bugle. Seems like he's advertising himself. It's a location type bugle. He hasn't done any type of bugling that would make you think he has cows, but he's not moving from that spot. He's been there for at least 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
Okay.
So from start to finish, how are you putting a tag on this bull?
So he's above me on top of the hill. Right?
He's above you. Wind's still, the thermals are still coming down.
Okay.
You know, it's fairly early in the morning still.
Mm-hmm. So this is a classic scenario that we run into all the time. But let's do a little bit of assumption, because if he's in the same spot for half an hour, he has cows. No doubt. No doubt. If it's a bull elk in September and he's in the same place for 30 minutes, he has at least one cow there. That is not moving. She's feeding. She's not wanting to go anywhere. He's staying put with her. That's the almost the only reason a bull elk would stay in one place for half an hour.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm just doing the classic thing. I'm assuming he has a cow. I'm going to use those thermals. I'm going to get right up, try to get same level as the bull. So I may try to get on top of that hill if cover or terrain allows me to. I'm going to try to get on the same level. I'm going to try to get within 100 yards of that bull. And then I'm going to test him. I'm going to hit him with a bull call and cow's bugle, and that will tell you the world. If you hit him with a bull call and cow's bugle and he's got a cow, he doesn't have an option. He has to remove you from that situation. I know we've been over this numerous times on your podcast.
Right.
So you get in tight on him and you play the instincts like he has a cow. If he's not to you in 5 minutes, then something has gone awry. Or maybe the cow took him away. Maybe he took the cow away, but it wasn't the right situation. So you have to get closer. The next time you do it, if he bugles again, like if he moves off and then bugles again, you have to get closer to him to do the bull call and cow's bugle. If it doesn't work, you're too far away. That's plain and simple. I've called in 46 herd bulls with that one sound. If it doesn't work within 5 minutes, you were too far away from him. So, and if you need to find him again, calf calls. Don't be doing mature cow sounds. If he does have a cow, which he probably does, you're going to blow that cow out. If he did cow sounds or calf sounds and he is by himself, he's coming to that even more readily than if you would have made a mature cow sound. So there's no reason to do mature cow sounds, in my opinion, the science that I've seen. There's no real reason to do mature cow sounds in the elk woods. You can replace all those with calf sounds with much higher success in calling bulls in. So I'm going to play it just like I would anything else. I'm going to slip in tight on him. I'm going to hit him with the BCC. If he's not there in 5 minutes, I was too far. So I'm going to relocate him with some calf sounds. I'm going to move in tighter. You can also pretend that you are a herd, right? Like if you introduce calf sounds, if you've been doing the bull calling cows bugle and you introduce calf sounds into that, you're now talking to your own calf.
Right.
Right. You're just, the bull that you're targeting is never the subject of your calling. You're either talking to his cows or you're talking to your own cows. Either one of those situations is going to get a response from that bull. He's telling you exactly what he's doing, right? Is he challenging you? Is he doing a bull calling cows bugle? Now is he trying to call in your cows? That would be something that, you know, would be very common for a herd bull to do, or a satellite bull, right?
Right.
But give them every instinctive reason you can to come to you, either to kill you or to save the baby, right? One of the two.
Right. Or I guess in that situation too, like if he was by himself and he didn't have a cow and he just some lazy bull was sitting up on the side of a ridge and didn't want to move.
Sure.
Maybe he's, I guess in that situation too, arguably he could want to come in and steal one of your cows. Cause I mean, I feel
absolutely.
Like if you are introducing the herd at that point, you could even go into that breeding sequence at that point.
Sure.
If he's still kind of hanging out there. Yeah.
Yep. You can do so many things with those four sounds that we talked about. It covers virtually everything. It's just you have to have the right situation for it, right?
Right.
And so, you know, be that situational elk hunter. Don't get in a hurry to call that bull in and do a bunch of sounds that are not going to help you. They're going to actually drive elk away. So just be careful of that.
Right. All right. So this is, I'm sure you've been faced with this before. I know I have. You have a bull who's answering from you from a couple hundred yards away. You know, every time you talk to him, or every time you send out, I guess I'm going to say, because you don't locate it. Do you locate with bugles often, or are you just strictly?
Before light, I do, absolutely, because that's when elk are actually doing that. So I don't do that after daylight.
Okay. So I'm trying to see how I could present this, because I don't know how you would be. I know you've been in the situation before, but so this bull basically keeps on answering you back. Anytime you bugle, anytime you cow call, anytime you do anything, he bugles. You know he's got cows. He's being defensive. And every time you close the distance and you try to round up his cows, matter of fact, I'll give you my exact last time I was faced with this. So I kept slipping in on this bull, and I would get stupid close, like where I could see, him at like 60, 70 yards and I could see his cows. And at times I'd have his cows between him and I, and I would do the BCC. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just take his cows and move away, but he wouldn't go far. He'd go like 200 yards.
Okay.
And stop. And he just kept letting me do that all day. 7 miles worth of that.
Really?
Well, at first, in all honesty, at first, when I was getting in close, I was challenging him. I wasn't doing the BCC. I switched to that. Then I switched to that the last few times. But he never let me get close. Never. Well, he would never stand and fight, and he would never come in. Like, at one point, I had his cows 15 yards from me.
Uh-huh.
I was seriously considering just shooting a cow because I was getting frustrated.
What was the date?
It was probably the 17th of September.
Okay.
It was in there.
Right. So 17th of September is right in the smack middle of what I call the lull. Every one of those cows was out of estrus. Either they'd already been bred or they're not in the second estrus cycle yet. So anything after the 15th is usually a massive lull. You'll have bugling, but you won't have protective instincts going on because they've either bred all those cows or they're not in estrus because they haven't hit the second estrus cycle yet, right? Which is usually around the 1st of October. So there's a lull in there of 4 or 5 days before they start pecking order again. That if you find yourself in the middle of that, it's the only way to call bulls in that situation, because they're not going to be protective. So if you get in there, especially if you start the scenario, it all depends on how you start it, right? If you start it by challenging him, you instantly change the instinct, right? Now he's very defensive and all this stuff. If you get in there tight on these cows and you haven't said anything yet and you hit him with the BCC, it's a very sudden reaction that I got to get rid of this guy. However, if you're in the lull, they're not going to be protective. So now you've got, now it's a situation like when you're rifle hunting or whatever, where nobody's responded to any calls. So now you really got to dive into the maternal and paternal instincts. Now the calf sounds are even more important, right? Sure. A mature cow sound is going to drive all those cows away. A calf sound is going to bring them to you. So, and if that bull will follow those cows in, then so be it. But like, that bull was, you had the cows 15 yards. What's the bull doing
at that point? Honestly, when you had the cows? I saw him, he was 40 yards away. Guy just couldn't get a shot, but he wouldn't come through the cows to me. And, you know, he was, I mean, that particular, when I had him that close, I had him that close because I snuck in that close, but not because I called him that close. I just, for some reason, and I had a ride, like, I had like this giant boulder, so I knew he had to come around to come see, you know. Mm-hmm. The cow actually came around and poked her head around to look at me, you know.
So but, did you, when you were 15 yards from the cows, did you do the BCC in the middle of them?
Yes.
And still no reaction. Did he at least bugle back?
He bugled. He let out a nasty,
big old,
you know.
Big old nasty challenge.
Get the hell out of here, bugle. But
right.
We nicknamed him Pussy Bull because he just
Some bulls are not very protective. They absolutely don't want to fight, and they're going to avoid it. They'll sit there and talk all day, but they won't come to kill you. So, you know, that plus you're in the lull, plus just you started it with a challenge. First impressions on elk are big, right? So if you challenge them, I just don't do that anymore, ever. But if you feel that you need to, be careful, because you're setting the stage, right? You're setting the stage that you're challenging this bull. And that, you know, usually satellite bulls don't necessarily challenge a big old bull. They'll talking to their cows and trying to knock off a piece when he's not looking or whatever. So you got to be, man, if you set that stage, it can ruin the whole situation. So be very careful with the first sounds that you make. Because if you're, even on the 17th of September, if you're in the middle of a herd and you do a BCC, he should be trying to kill you. But, you know, you had a bull that didn't have a lot of testosterone going on. So chalk it up to one that was tough to get. I haven't had that. Every time I've been in bulls like that, I've done the BCC within 10 yards of cows, like bugling right over their back, and they'll barely lift their head, but the bull just loses his mind because now you are there. You have infiltrated the program. So it's, I haven't had that situation very often where I don't get the response I'm looking for when I get that close to cows.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. So here's another scenario for you.
Okay.
You have a bunch of cows, hear them calling, feeding below you. You're on top of a ridge in the morning, but you're above them. You know, you're trying to stay off the side, obviously, for wind purposes and whatnot, but you know they're feeding below you. It's real thick. You're pretty sure there's a bull with them, but you haven't heard him make a peep. You can't glass him up, because it's so thick, but he hasn't made a peep all day. How are you? There's a bunch of cows down here, and it's like the heat of the rut, you know, it's on. How are you verifying that there's a bull there? And once you do, what are you doing to get them killed?
How close are you to the cow?
Close enough to hear them? I don't know.
I mean, give me like hundreds of yards. Are you 200 yards from them? Or?
On their 200, yeah.
Okay. So I don't say anything to them. I just treat it like there is a bull there because you're probably thinking there's a bull there. I don't say anything. So I'll work that wind. I'll get in tight on the cows. I try to get within 50 yards if I can. You know, just hearing them or whatever. If you pop off a bull calling cow's bugle that close to cows, he doesn't have an option. He will say something to you. So that would be my first call to do. I wouldn't say anything. If I've got the herd located, I slide in there, get as close as I can to the cows. If I can get 30 yards from them, I get 30 yards from them, and I hit them. So I had this exact scenario. I was above a bunch of cows on my Washington hunt last year. I could see them. I did a little bit of calf calling because I didn't know what was going on. I pulled a whole bunch of cows right to me, and the bull eventually came out. I finally got to see him. He came out and just rounded those cows up, didn't say much, right? So I'm like, I got to get down on their level. And it was steep. I was looking down on a flat. It was like, no, 150 yards below me. So I got quiet. I went around the side. I got right up in on that flat. And it was jack first, so you can't see anything, right? I've got a giant cedar stump next to me. So I climb up on the cedar stump. I don't know where the elk are on this flat. And I climb up on this cedar stump. So now my feet are like 6 feet in the air. Okay. So I'm in a little tree stand there in the middle of this jack fir patch. And I let out a bull calling cow's bugle. And the bull was bedded 20 yards from me. And he let out just an absolute blood-curdling scream. And then I see the antlers rise up out of the jack firs. And I had that bull. He came into 5 yards. And he saw me standing up on that stump. So I did get a shot at him, but I hit a limb on that one. I got a shot at him at 20 when he whirled through it. But there was just very few shooting lanes in there. And the old arrow didn't make it to him. But at 5 yards, it was funny because he was coming out and I was already at full draw with my recurve. And you see that eye just look to the left and it's like, I don't know what that is. And he stopped and backpedaled just as smoothly as he came out around that jack fir. He just sunk right back into it. It was funny. Then he whirled and stuff. But I didn't know where that bull was. I knew there was one there. Mm-hmm. But in that situation, just treat it like he's there. Just get as close as you can to those cows. Don't do anything else. Just hit him with that bull calling cow's bugle. He has to react to that. If you get no response from that, there's no bull there. And that would be really weird. But, I mean, I'm so confident in those sounds to elicit responses from elk. They have to say something back. So that's how I would handle that situation. And you're probably seeing that I really utilize only a very few sounds and very few techniques based on principles, right? Based on science. So it's my elk hunting is very simple. It's very easy to know what to do because all these situations pretty much fall in the same category. So, you know, you're going to, any scenario that you hit me with, it's going to have a very similar answer. So, because the science is not all this, it's not this huge variety of stuff. There are certain instincts that they have, play on those instincts.
Right. Well, awesome. Well, yeah. I think that's all I got for you, man.
I hate to oversimplify stuff, but
no, but I, you know, like I said on the last podcast, you know, I like the simplicity because you know what, when you're faced with it, you're not thinking straight and it's hard to recall. Okay. Well, if I do this and if I do that and I do this and I do that.
Yeah.
Oh, was that a, you know, locating bugle? Was that a challenge bugle? Right. Was that a, you know, bull calling cow bugle? You know, those things are, you know, it's hard. I mean, for guys that I think have been doing it for, I don't call myself an elk hunting expert, but I do guide people hunting. So I do have a certain level of elk hunting, you know?
Sure.
I feel that simplifying things sometimes is better.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It really is. It's really easy to just humanize it. Like we said in the last podcast, just humanize it, figure out what you got to do. How would it call you in as a human being? And, you know, everybody wants to practice their chuckles and all this stuff. Yep, that's a really cool sound that elk make, but you're decreasing your odds as soon as you do it, in my opinion. So that's what the science is saying.
All right. Well, I think that's it, man. I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us and your viewpoint. And we'll see. Hopefully some guys will be able to put this all to use this year when they're faced with those scenarios or similar.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.